Podcasting from the top of the rocks. This is News on the Rocks with Patty Steele.
Oh boy, there's nothing greater than doing News on the Rocks because no matter what you're doing,
yes,
you have to start with a drink, right? Here we go. This is Stolichnaya Blueberry Vodka. Katie's drinking wine.
I'm drinking white
wine.
She's
a child.
This is really quite nice.
It is. It is nice. It needs to, like, be softened by sparkling water, but it's really good.
Or gas. No, I'm kidding.
You need
for
another serving of this?
All of my Presbyterian friends out there.
Gasoline.
I wonder if this is a horrible thing to think. Are people drinking more now?
Oh, hello. Of course they are.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they say liquor sales are. Yeah, I started a little early. Liquor sales started just climbing as soon as we had to, like, lock down.
Yeah.
Especially because for a variety of reasons, they considered liquor stores
essential.
Essential.
Yeah.
Part of that has to do with the fact that if someone drinks excessively and suddenly they are cut off,
The withdrawal
can be horrifying, and they need sometimes to be hospitalized, and on occasion it'll kill them. And so what they decided was, we didn't need more people in the hospital at a time when COVID-19 is, like, filling our hospitals. So that became an essential thing. And it's also for those of us stuck in our basements, it's calming.
Well, but my beloved wife, who shall remain nameless, no fool.
Mary Ellen, you mean?
She did. She had 3 Zoom cocktail meetings. I don't know. What is
in
this?
One night?
Like, right,
yes,
after each other.
I got to get her number.
Well, it's how we stay in touch. Her boss did one. The friends did one. And it's everybody just looking at their phone drinking.
Yeah. I did a Zoom book club last night. And truthfully, can't remember the name of the book that we read.
This is horrible.
But it was fun and interesting people, and so that's what we do. Now, today, joining us, in addition to the wonderful John Elliott.
Oh, I'm John.
Yeah, John. What, is this a 12-step program? Yeah. The wonderful John Elliott from Channel 2 in New York, and the wonderful Katie Kushner.
Hello.
My incredible daughter, who is a... or was a senior at American University.
I still unfortunately have to take classes. So.
Yeah, you're taking classes online.
When are classes done?
Our online graduation is May 9th, I think.
What
so
does that mean?
I'm pretty sure it's just a live stream of them calling people's names.
You're kidding.
Couldn't tell you, yeah.
So.
And you have to sit through every name?
I think they're shortening it. They haven't honestly told us what they're doing for it. But...
That's
it.
Then you watch the mail for your diploma.
Yeah, they said 6 to 8 weeks after the semester ends, we're getting our diploma in the mail. So,
and then no binge drinking parties unless you do them on Zoom.
That's what we'll be doing. Yeah,
you're not much of a drinker, but you know,
every once in a while.
But you know, the thing that hurts me is to see you at this pivotal moment in your life. 22 years of. You know, you can't remember probably when you didn't go to school, because you were in preschool when you were 2.5, and then, you know, on through, and it all was moving towards this incredible moment when you would walk up the aisle, not as a bride, but to pick up your diploma, in the springtime in Washington, D.C., and then all of that gets taken away from you.
I was talking to Michelle Peterson. She works at Seton Hall. Mm-hmm. She's the head of something called the Dove, which is their volunteering program.
Right.
And she says her heart breaks for the students, because not only do you miss graduation, but at Seton Hall, 2,500 kids a year are involved in some kind of ministry, whether it's food banks, nursing homes.
Oh, wonderful.
So she said not only do they not get that, but they've made relationships with people they've been helping, with students they've been helping those people with, all these relationships, and they don't even get to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's like, I have like in class friends, I guess. And so it's like all these people who like I wouldn't necessarily hang out with outside of.
But you'd like to say goodbye.
I'd love to just have that final class together, or like the professors I enjoyed, you know, being able to say bye to them. So
how many of the kids do you think are going to show up? I know that they're going to try to do something, including cap and gown, in December.
Yeah.
At Washington. Yeah, at Washington.
American. Depends what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, if you know, who knows? Because if someone has a job, and it's also, you know, they have to pay for that extra plane ticket if they live far away from school.
You have a lot of international students.
Yeah,
at American.
We have a lot. Yeah. Wow. So it's hard to say. I mean, luckily, a bunch of my friends think they'll be able to, but it's, you know, it's that's far away from now. So.
John, your daughter Elizabeth is also graduating. What's her deal?
The thing at UVA, it's you walk the lawn. This lawn that
it's a tradition.
Thomas Jefferson designed
Absolutely.
For students to do in 1826, and that's the tradition. And it's just all gone. The other side of that, though, is what a year to get a job for these graduating seniors.
Yeah.
So you think everybody, well, when are we going to have a party? When are we going to do this? When are we going to get work? Elizabeth is like, everybody's freaked out. If you didn't have something set up rock solid, like
before this started
in February, everything's like shifting sand right now.
I'm sorry, honey, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's even, I have friends who had rock solid job
and
offers.
And they're gone now?
Gone.
See?
Internships gone.
Well, so here's a good question. What about the student loans? Because they kick in once you graduate. What about all these?
I bet that's another wave. I bet that's going to be something where somebody's going to finally wake up and say, well, if we're giving them 3 months on mortgages and we're giving them 3 months on auto this and auto that, they've got to do something with these student loans.
Yeah, because these kids are not going to be able to start jobs. And so what are they going to base their being able to pay their loans back on?
Yeah.
Oof, boy. Man.
Well, this just took a turn.
Let's go back to cocktails.
Yeah.
So we were talking about Zoom cocktails hours and Zoom meetings. And Kate, it's really funny because one of the things I discovered is that 22-year-old girls have a very different style of meeting up on Zoom than folks like me who are like 31 or something. we like... Like you're doing, I see you doing all these like Zoom exercise classes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I go to a boxing studio called Rumble in DC. They have it a few other places, but they have like Instagram lives every day at different times, and instructors from like all over the United States will teach a class. And so one of my best friends works there as just like a front desk person. And so her and I and a couple of our other friends will Zoom while watching the Instagram live, and we work out together just to motivate each other, because we'd all be going to classes in person together anyway if we were together. So
can people watch you exercise?
That's the only thing I'm worried about. Zoom security.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother issue.
Yeah, but people are popping on to watch you exercise from Uzbekistan.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But no, I mean, it's been nice just
error
to have,
free so far.
For me, yeah, I know there are people at my school. They had some kind of debate for some club president or something, and I heard from people that someone popped on and was yelling like really derogatory things about women and about different races.
Yikes.
And so they had
How did they get the code? Do you have to be invited? You know,
you have to be invited, but I think because they wanted so many people to be involved, I think they just had it out there.
Ooh.
I'm not involved in the club, so I don't know exactly what happened.
Well,
but
thank goodness, because you're not an evil racist.
Well, no, it was the club like everyone that was completely normal. It's just someone got the code somehow, popped in and started screaming something
and
derogatory,
hacked it
basically. So they had to end the debate early because of that. So that's, you know, a whole nother thing. And it's during classes, even random people pop in and say or do stupid things. So
I know some people tried to switch off of Zoom to some of the other, you know, Google Hangout
there's
or Meetup.
Microsoft or something.
But you know what? Some of them are a lot tougher for those of us who aren't tech savvy.
Yeah.
They're a lot tougher to access. And so like our book club last night was supposed to meet on one of the Google sites, and everybody was struggling with it. And finally they went, okay, I'm sending another invite for Zoom. And then you click and there you are. Yeah. And, you know, so they have made it easier, but I guess it's also easier for evil, creepy people to jump in on board.
I mean, I know they're putting more, restrictions on it, I think. I know for one of the ones that the setting that my professor uses, there's a weight room, technically. And so you have to be, like, accepted into the general meeting now.
Right.
So I know, like, that's what my friends and I and my classes are starting to use, just so that you can't just pop in there all of a sudden.
But again, if you have an enormous crowd, you still have to wait for that. What if you have 100 people that are popping in for some kind of meeting? Who is in charge of making sure they vet every single person trying to get into the meeting?
Yeah.
It's tough. You and I talked also about how different, like, fashion is. Like, I do a bunch of Zoom meetings, either, like, with sales at work or with, you know, clients or friends or whatever. And I always have, like, this sensibility that, okay, I've got to, like, fix my hair. I've got to have makeup on. Because if I don't, people are going to go, ooh, she doesn't look good. She looks like she's got it. What's going on here? But people your age are like,
they just don't. I mean, especially for class, I think in general, when we're walking around campus, no one dresses up, like, a ton. Mm-hmm. But even now, since we're all just basically laying in bed taking classes, they're like, it's kind of weird if you have makeup on.
Are you laying in bed taking?
I mean, no, I sit at a desk because I like to separate that. But a
lot
of people I know.
Right next to her bed.
Right. Yeah. But no, people will wear, if you put on makeup, it's just kind of weird. Not
really.
I mean, no one really cares. It's not like anyone's going to call you out. But like, everyone just kind of shows up in their pajamas. I know some of my friends roll out of bed, and then 5 minutes later, they're in class. So
another individual in this house was online taking a class, and some kid pulled out a bong while the professor was doing the...
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a joke.
I have two tips for people that aren't in pajamas or tempted to be there. Mm-hmm. Two words.
Yeah.
Lighting and elevation.
Elevation?
Elevation.
What is that?
Elevation.
What does that mean?
Do not do a Zoom on your laptop. When you're looking at your laptop, because it makes your neck look horrible, makes your head look goofy. All you got to do is, we have an ice bucket.
Hold your hand up in the air for an hour?
Wrong.
No.
Get an ice bucket. See something about the size of that Poland spring. If that were flat on top, put your laptop on top of it.
So it's looking down and your head is up like you are magnificent.
Your head, no, you look like that. It makes you look so much more comfortable. It makes you look so much more attractive.
Ah.
And if you have the light in front of you, not behind you, and don't be right next to a wall.
Yeah, you look like, oh, this beautiful creature.
Well, just, you'd be shocked. Because I'm like, I just can't believe some of the stuff. And I'll say, look, we're going to do a Zoom interview. I interviewed a priest last week.
Right.
This guy, smart. He took the thing to the chapel. He had depth. He had lighting. It's like, hey, Father, forgive me. He looked great. But then other people, they're right up against a wall. There's no depth. It's like, oh, man.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Elevation.
Yeah, that's funny. I yesterday, I recorded, we do at the radio station, as you well know, we do a, every year we do a holiday show for the children
at Blythedale.
Blythedale Children's Rehabilitative Hospital. And so these little ones right now are stuck in a position where not only can they not see their parents and outsiders, but they can't even like mingle together because of all of this. And so they're lonely, and it's, you know, so I read a book to them, but you know, I thought, okay, I'm going to have Katie shoot this on her iPhone and then send it to, and she said, no, she said, let's use the laptop, but it actually was set up. I like set it up kind of high.
That's it.
And, and was able to read the book and show them the pictures. And then my dog jumped into it.
They loved it.
Of course, I sort of helped her jump into it. And then she went,
she started crying.
Which we had to edit out. She went, because I grabbed her. Katie said, I don't think you want to send that to the children. You abusing your puppy.
And at the end, no animals were harmed in the reading of this
story. No, you see this awkward where my head just turns because we cut out the But, you know, I have to say, and I'm going to throw it back to you for this, John, because you're a TV guy. For radio people, I've been getting tons of messages and even neighbors who say, man, it sounds like you guys on the radio are in the same room. It's amazing that Scott is down at his fabulous abode in Florida and you're up here in your basement in Montclair, New Jersey, and you were here with me for a while as well until you weren't. And but with television, it's a whole different thing because people see your background. So I think, you know, for me, I've learned this whole idea of, wow, I got to position the, if I'm doing a Zoom, I got to position it so there's like a flickering fire in the fireplace behind me or something that makes it look interesting or decent. In Katie's, you know, position, she's beautiful young girl, so she can lay back on her pillow and do her classes. But for you, you're talking to millions of people.
Well, at and least what has happened? 20 or 30.
You're not even allowed in a studio anymore, right?
No, our studio is totally shut down. And then with the guidelines from all the tri-state governors about stay home, there's this big push. All the anchors are at home.
Right.
That, you know, is starting to erode a bit, which is good. It'd be
are they getting bored at home? Is that why? Or
well,
is it
well, we'd
not
all,
access to the right equipment?
We'd all rather be in the studio.
Sure.
Because there's a problem with audio. There's a delay.
Right.
This morning
right.
I did a show with Mary Kelvey. She's in Westchester.
Right.
I got Chris Raggy in Bergen, and I'm in Essex, and it's got to be routed through New York, up and down, and there's like a 2-second delay, so you can't really talk to each other. It's just a lot of over to you, thanks, I'll take it back to you, and it's like all of that. But I think I see, I don't want to lose sight of something, because this is just horrible for everybody. So I take my job on television as like, it's I have an obligation to look good and to look comfortable
and to feel
so you people can
offer some
tune
peace.
In. Yes.
Yeah.
I am shocked.
I
posted something about my on Facebook about my mom, and it's my first Easter without my mom.
Aww.
And there was always a saying she would say, "Lord is risen." You had to say, "The Lord is risen indeed." Yeah, but that was just the rule.
Yeah.
So I just said, you know, it's just like, you know.
Yeah.
And number one, the volume was amazing, but it was the long comments.
Right.
One woman said, "I just lost my brother last week."
Oh.
I know how tough love, and it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And she couldn't say goodbye to him in the hospital.
Yeah, no.
Because you're separated.
Right.
So it's like, I don't want to be like, you know, I'm worried about my makeup, I'm worried about this. Because the reality is I am. Because I want people who are watching on TV to feel comfortable and not be distracted by some freak on a bad camera who's lit like Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Just want to put people at ease.
I have to tell you, I love seeing you on TV. Prefer you on radio because then you're with me.
Yeah.
But there is something really interesting about this moment in time.
Sure is.
Like seeing you, like a lady who works for me, Gracie, said to me the other day, she said, "Oh, I saw John Elliott sitting outside by a fire."
Yep.
You know, there is something really kind of beautiful about, and I don't know if you appreciate it or if it's difficult, but you're getting a peek into a personal part of your life, whether it's I saw you sitting by the fireplace in your living room, I saw my doggies on TV with you. And I kind of feel we did an interview with Dr. Oz. We've done a number of them, and he continues to talk about how grateful he is for this opportunity to see the beauty in this more intimate form of conversation that doesn't involve giant, incredible lighting, you know, big sets, costumes, makeup, and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, you are a natural beauty, so you don't have to worry about
there
that.
There is that.
But, you know, there is something really, I don't know. I feel like it's a hug. It's like, I feel like, again, yeah, and we are all in this together. They keep telling us that. But when I see people like you sharing a little more intimate part of their lives, I do feel like I'm in it with you, as opposed to that beautiful Channel 2 set, which is fine, and you'll go back to that. But
I think people crave connection.
I do, too.
Because they cannot be connected.
Right.
You can't
touch anybody. You can't go up to people on the street. You have to yell at them across the street. You can't. It's just a time where we're starved.
Well, I'll go further than that. I think before all of this, we still were craving connection. I mean, Kate, you can speak to that. You are in a generation in which you pretty much only text one another.
Yeah.
You don't hear the warmth or the expression or the emotion of a human voice all that much when you're communicating with friends.
Do you talk more to friends now? Are you spending more time talking or still texting?
I mean, I don't Zoom or like FaceTime my friends every day, but we definitely, I prefer talking face to face with someone.
She always has,
yeah, but I think I'm definitely talking to my friends more because we can't really see each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, it really just depends. I think we try to, if we're not texting, then we're FaceTiming. If we're not FaceTiming, then we're texting. So, I don't know.
It's just, it's an interesting thing because, I mean, our generation, John, I mean, you're much younger than
no.
me. But
I remember party lines.
I do too. Our generation has been kind of perplexed by the lack of live communication, live talk, live. And interestingly enough, her generation are the ones that have really wholeheartedly embraced podcasting. And there's a part of me that thinks it's because they do crave that intimate connection.
Yep.
The beauty of, and I always say this, it's the reason, sorry, I chose radio and I had done television, is because I feel like when it's just audio, it's like a great book. You climb in, inside someone's head and you create a picture. Mm-hmm. And the picture you create in their head is far more vibrant than if you show them a flat picture.
Because they contribute to the painting.
Exactly.
They're making the art.
The color,
with
the
you.
Depth, yeah. the form is partly them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and I think that, I think that's a big part of why you guys love to listen to podcasts, because in media and sadly, particularly in radio, there's kind of been a loss of that ability to just kind of reach inside somebody and say, hey, have you ever thought about this? Or did you see this? What do you think about it when you saw, you know, whatever on television, or you saw somebody do this? What did that make you feel? You know, when it's just sound, you're on their side of the camera. We're all looking at the world and responding to the world from this side. And I think podcasting does that. And I think at its best, television does that.
Yeah.
There are people, and I really put you in that category, who can create that feeling of connection and that warmth that makes you feel like, I think he's just talking to me. For the most part, television doesn't do that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pretty people who are really good at reading copy and telling you what happened, you know.
But, you know, when you talk about, like, this is the big debate in our world. Every show, and it's not CBS, NBC, or ABC, it's just the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What is the new death count? What is the new this? What is the new that? And we have to get beyond the numbers.
Right.
That's, and I don't know how you do that, how you break through, but I think this cavalcade, this bombardment of numbers is why we had Tiger King.
Right.
Why people want to escape.
Well, it goes even beyond that. I mean, we live in a time, you and I, when we were little kids, it wasn't this unbelievably mercenary time in which everybody, everything, it's all about stuff and expensive stuff. When we were kids, you know, we didn't, it was like you got a few toys for Christmas, mm-hmm. or for Hanukkah or whatever it was you were celebrating, or your birthday, and you had, you know, balloons and Kool-Aid and cookies outside on the bench, you know? It's a different time. And I think that we live in this time where it's more money, money, money. How much can we advertise? How much money can we bring in? How much can we sell to the public? And I think that's part of what has created that need to just, you know,
get away, escape.
Yeah. Well, that's the other side of it. You know, at times we just say, oh my God, I just need freedom. I need to just breathe fresh air, go outside, look at a tree, look at the sky, and not think about all the stuff.
But you can't without your mask on.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's funny. I mean, for me, like, I've been working out and going on runs a lot during this too, and I find it very interesting. There are so many people, so many more people going outside and like going on walks or like running or walking their dogs than I've ever seen before when I used to do that prior to this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just because, you know, people are sitting inside and doing the same thing every day and hearing horrible news, and then they're just like, well,
getting depressed.
Now I can go and, you know, be outside and just kind of clear my head. So, but it's also all about balance. I think you need to hear the bad news in order to understand how severe this is.
It's about balance, but it's also about rebalance. Mm-hmm. Because 80% of the pollutants in the air come from transportation. Mm-hmm. So those numbers are down 30 to 60%.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you noticed how clean the air is?
Yeah. Very quickly, by the way.
Shocking.
Yeah, because you would believe that we have spent 50 years destroying the atmosphere,
it wouldn't take 2 weeks for it to just, right. Wow.
For everything. I mean, they have like shots from the space station showing how much clearer the air is. It's really kind of interesting, and it kind of begs the question, you know, and I'm not going to be a naysayer about masks because, man, I fasten them on the minute I go. If I'm going into the, well, you have to in New Jersey, it's the law. And not when I go out for a walk, but when I go, and here's the funny thing, I had to go to the drugstore the other day. So I had this newish mask that I put on. And I walked into the store, and I'm walking around, and all of a sudden, it pops off my ear and falls down. And I went, oh, God. I put it back on, walking aisle. Oh, there it goes again. Huh, okay, whatever. Nobody was near me. I kept walking, then I got all my stuff. So then I go up, and I get in line to check out. And as the guy says, next person in line, I look over at the guy, and I swear to God, he has a World War II gas mask on with like charcoal canisters.
Aspirators on
his whole face. You can barely understand what he's saying. And I went, oh, and as I did it, my mask popped off my face. And I went, oh, good. And I'm like trying to put it back on my face. And I'm going over there and he's looking at me through his goggles. And I start putting stuff on the counter, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I know that I look and the only gloves I had at that moment were ones that I had used for coloring my hair, because I can't go to get my hair done.
Oh my God.
So they're like little plastic baggies, basically. I'm doing that, my mask is falling off, and this guy is all suited up like he's going into battle. Well,
I mean, working at a drugstore, you don't know who's going to be
coming
there.
No.
Disparaging.
This is not about him.
Darth
this is
Vader.
About me. This is about my mask falling off, my gloves having holes in them, and feeling panicked. And then I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm panicked. What am I panicked about?
What are you panicked about?
He's not putting anything on me. He's breathing out through charcoal canisters.
You got nothing to worry about.
Nobody else is
but
around
it's
me.
Whoever's touching the table, whoever, you know what I mean? There's just,
you're trying to scare me.
You didn't
Kitty.
Lick your hands, did you? You didn't lick the gloves.
But
after
I got in the car. You're touching the car, you're touching the steering wheel, and then.
All right. Do you wear gloves in the car? I see people.
So I see people
I did today.
Suited up.
I did only because I wanted to
suited
wash
up in their car.
Yeah.
Who's in the car?
No, I don't.
With
I
you?
Take the mask off.
They have
you
the
can't
mask
breathe
and the gloves.
Yeah. You cannot breathe in that mask.
I don't know. I wear a bandana, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to get some they're
you
like
take a bandito.
What there're these things that you can put pictures on the wall.
Right.
And you don't have to put them, you know, nail or anything. They're called stick-ups.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I went in and I said, where are the stick-ups? And they thought it was a stick-up. So then, you know, they called the cops. It was all over my bandana.
Were the cops properly suited up?
They weren't going to touch me. They didn't know where my face had been.
You are nuts. Okay. So here's the thing. Governor Cuomo says, partly because the death numbers are down, the worst is over. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Katie?
For me, I fear that by him saying that, people aren't going to take it as seriously as they
generation?
Were before. Yeah.
Your
and
generation.
So I think
we're going to go back.
And
up
so
the,
I think that people are going to start thinking that they can do things, you know, not be as socially distant as we still should be.
Vigilant.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I already see people that are, they're still being distant when they're seeing people, but, you know, they are starting to meet up with friends again. They're starting to not be as careful as they should be. So I just fear that it's going to ruin our progress.
Because we're being driven crazy. Yeah. I think, and I hate to be the naysayer here.
Why should now be any different?
That's right. That's me. So negative. One of the things that scares me is that I think that the financial impact has yet to really hit. I mean, yes, there are people who have lost their jobs and at this moment are saying, oh my God, I got to pay the rent or I got to buy food. But for the vast majority of people, you still have some kind of an income. You know, went to the store today, Costco, and suited up. And I went, oh, I guess the line starts around the corner of the store. Walked around the corner of the store. The line was a quarter of a mile long.
Wow.
It went all the way down, you know, those giant Costco warehouses, around the parking lot, down another row of buildings, around that row of buildings.
To another Costco.
To exactly. Wait, I'll get on that line. But I realized, you know, you keep reading stuff in the paper about they just this week shut down. Now, I don't know if you're a big pork eater, but they shut down, I think it was Smithfield. It's a pork processing place.
In South Dakota, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. And they process between 4 and 5% of all the pork in the country. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a hell of a lot because they're just one place. And so you look at that kind of thing and you realize that a lot of people getting sick, for a lot of reasons, they close those down. For a lot of people, you know, okay, you dig into savings or you get that $1,200 check from the government, but it's going to take a while for the economy to jump back into place. And I sort of, you know, and this is not a political statement, I sort of understand why there are a lot of people in government who are saying, we got to get this economy back up and running, even if it means that we begin by allowing 1 out of 10 people back in. Maybe they're people who have already been through this or who, for whatever reason, have antibodies. We begin the process of ramping up because God knows where we're going to wind up with all of these businesses that are either going to shut down permanently. I mean, you see all these stores that are talking about, you know, places like Macy's, big stores that have had a rough time anyway because of the advent of online shopping.
Right.
And now they're talking about shutting down permanently.
So back to the worst is over. Fauci says, you know, death rates going down is good, but they have to drop. They have to, like, it can't just be this back and forth, up, down. It's just going to be down.
Right.
And then in Wuhan, where they're letting people start to travel again, numbers are coming back.
Well, yes, but one of the things, we got to speak today with Dr. Oz, and one of the things he said is he thinks this incidence of people who were well, but now are testing positive again.
Mm-hmm.
He said, people don't realize this, but he said for most of the kinds of tests that we do with these kinds of things, about a third of them are false, have false results.
Well, that's good.
So he said frequently with these kinds of people, what happens is, you know, they're sick and then they test them and go, hey, you're clear. And he said, really what it is they're jamming something up your nose to test and maybe they missed the spot where the virus is hanging out.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know that's a little scary, but I actually like that scenario better than the idea that someone who's been infected could be reinfected. That's more scary to me than the idea that they could just miss the virus on that.
Because what do we? What happens if we find ourselves in this constant cycle of quarantine, no quarantine, quarantine, no quarantine? And what's the threshold going to be? I mean, I know the numbers are far higher with this than the flu.
Right.
But what's to stop somebody from saying it's going to be a bad flu season? We need to stop everything, shut the economy down, everybody stay home, because the flu is killing people too.
Well, yeah, because God forbid you are the politician that says, well, it's only 1% of the population. Who cares if it's one? You can't say that, because that is not a politically correct thing to say. And God knows, maybe it isn't, but maybe instead of just shutting everything down, we begin to adopt a little more careful way of handling ourselves around other people. I mean, here's the interesting thing about COVID-19 in particular is the doctors that are watching this whole thing say it's mutated. This virus has mutated about 8 times since they first discovered it, which is a fairly low number for viruses. If you know, with the flu, it mutates so much that every year they don't even know that the flu vaccine they give you
is going to work.
Is going to even work. Yeah. With this one, it mutates much more slowly and in much smaller increments. And they're now thinking that if they come up, when they come up, they have come up, but they test it with a vaccine that treats us, it may actually keep us clear for more than just that season, because it will protect us against smaller mutations. So I think there's a lot to be hopeful for.
Yes, but I just wonder how this ultimately will change society. You talk about the economy, you talk about the social side of it.
Do you think the world is going to be changed by this?
Absolutely.
Is that a good thing?
That is up to us to determine how we react to it. This had better change us. Mm-hmm. We had better learn from this.
Right.
I mean, we better nail down the genesis of this thing, because now it's all this political, well, it wasn't in China, it was in Europe, then it went to China. You know, it's all of a sudden becoming a blame game, which is a political game, not a scientific game.
Right.
We got to keep it scientific, and then we have to ask some real hard questions. Dr. Fauci says, don't ever shake hands again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I like touching people. I like
touching people too.
I like that. I understand it. But I'm also a person who, in my, as I said, 31 years on Earth.
Yeah.
Sure. Has only had the flu maybe once or twice. So to me, a lifetime of hugging people, shaking hands, making that warm kind of contact with them up close is worth the flu that I've had. Is it worth giving up my life? I guess not. But
now are we going to say it's not about you, it's about you making somebody else sick?
Right. Well, we are saying that. And that's a very good
viral
point.
Viral shedding.
What do you think, Kate? I mean, you're younger. What do you
think? You've got many more years.
Do you think we should never shake hands or hug each other again?
I think right now it may seem that way, just because everything's so new and, you know, everything's changing. But once we kind of get a grasp on this, I think that society is not going to be back to normal, whatever that means. But I think we're all going to be more cognizant of everything. But I don't think we're never going to be able to, like, hug other people again. It may take a while until we can, but...
You'll sort of choose who you hug. You'll demand a swab test first.
Well, I also wonder, there are so many privacy things coming up now.
Yeah.
Do you know what they're doing? Everybody's coded and colored in China now. Mm. So you have to have a card with green, yellow, red, and then you have to... And in Korea, it's all about everybody's... They have infrared cameras. If your skin looks a little hot, they can arbitrarily... take your temperature. I mean, are we going to give up all our privacy to make sure nobody else gets sick? Where are you going to draw that line in this new post-COVID?
Well, if you believe the conspiracy theorists, they're saying that that did you see this whole thing about them claiming what's his face, Stone, The guy that was friends with Trump, but he was in prison.
Roger
Stone, talking about how Bill Gates was behind the whole COVID-19 thing because he has a vested interest in implanting chips in everyone so that we can trace people, figure out where they're going, figure out their illnesses, because he believes, and he's saying that the whole science behind it is that we can stop spreading all kinds of illnesses.
Well, that's the rationale.
If we can follow people and see, okay, we know that you are a carrier of this. Now we know where you're going and who you're with, so we will prevent you from spreading illnesses.
See, and it's all, and that sounds great.
Yeah.
But what kind of privacy are you giving up?
Well, yeah.
What kind of liberty are
and
you
by the
giving
way,
up?
I don't espouse that. I'm
just
not saying that I think
Bill Gates is the Antichrist.
Yeah,
and
he
you
invented
heard it
this
right
so he
here
could microchip you.
On the final episode of News on the Rocks.
And then she disappeared.
Yeah, we don't know what happened to her.
Wow, she's completely gone.
But I worry about some of these big mega shifts. I worry what companies are going to do when they realize everybody can work from home, so why have anybody come in?
Yeah.
You know,
we don't need all that expensive real estate.
Yeah. You know, and I just wonder about what's it going to mean. Are we going to bow to each other? What are we going to do?
Well, we're certainly, if we do that, we're going to take away the beauty of human interaction, mm-hmm. which is the one thing computers can't do.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that worries me for whatever future you and I have, but also the future that Kate has moving forward, you know.
I know.
Go ahead.
No, sorry. I know for me, I've kind of learned to appreciate things more than I used to. Just that idea of being able to see my friends every day and, you know, being able to go outside and not have to worry about getting sick or getting other people sick. You know, I think hopefully that this teaches people to just appreciate the people around them and the things that they are able to do.
And nature and life. Yeah.
Because right now we're just so restricted. And it, for me, like I've thought about being in college and being able to just go out with my friends and not have to worry about anything. And so I know that when I'm able to do that, I'm going to appreciate it more and be more in the moment than I was before. So,
well, yeah, priest I talked to, I said, what's your message for people? You know, we're wrapping up the holy season. He just says one word, open. Mm-hmm. Stay open. Open hearts, open mind, and stay in the minute so you mm-hmm. can enjoy what you have. Mm-hmm. And then when everything's back, you savor it more.
Yeah.
So
it's funny. I've shared this with you. I've shared it with Katie 14,000 times. But one of my favorite quotes is from Albert Camus. And it's along the lines of, in the midst of winter, I discovered within me an invincible summer. And so I think that's essential for us. You mm-hmm. go through things like this. It feels like a winter, but there is so much to learn and so much to grasp. And exactly, I love that you just said that you have learned what there is to appreciate in this life, that it doesn't just involve stuff or, you know, it involves being there with friends, looking at the sky, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suffering leads to endurance. Mm-hmm. Endurance leads to character. Character builds hope.
Yeah.
And you have to have hope. If we didn't have hope, how dire would this really be?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Wow. We should all hug, but we can't.
Look, here's your hug.
Get away from me.
Don't touch me.
Kick my feet. Don't touch me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I grabbed her foot.
Yeah.
Oh,
now she's licking your hand.
You've got to, like, put Clorox on this.